Amen. Amen. I'm glad, thank God, I can feel the presence of God down in my soul.
Amen.
Every now and then he feels me so much, I just about get right beside myself. Amen. That'd be a sight if I was to do it tonight. It'd be two of us up here. Y'all wouldn't know which one of me was doing the preaching, would you? That's supposed to be a joke. You'll catch that after a while. Psalm number 85, please, in your Bibles tonight. Psalm 85. And when you find Psalm 85, you'll stand while we'll read this entire psalm together tonight. Psalm 85. Psalm 85, begin reading in verse number 1. The sweet psalmist here says, Lord, Thou hast been favorable unto Thy land. Thou hast brought back the captivity of Jacob. Thou hast forgiven the iniquity of Thy people. Thou hast covered all their sin. What a statement. Thou hast covered all their sin. And then he says, think about that a little while. Just stop right there and think a while. That he has covered all their sin. Thou hast taken away all thy wrath. Thou hast turned thyself from the fierceness of thine anger. Turn us, O God of our salvation, and cause thine anger toward us to cease. Wilt thou be angry with us forever? Wilt thou draw out thine anger to all generations? Wilt thou not revive us again, that thy people may rejoice in thee? Show us thy mercy, O Lord, and grant us thy salvation. I will hear what God the Lord will speak. For he will speak peace unto his people and to his saints, but let them not turn again to folly. I'll probably not get to that verse of Scripture. But church, that is a tremendous warning from the Word of God that if revival truly comes to the people of God and they turn again back to their folly, it is as bad as a hog returning to the mire and the dog returning to its own vomit. He said, let them not turn again to their folly. He says, surely his salvation is nigh them that fear him, that glory may dwell in our land. Mercy and truth are met together. Righteousness and peace have kissed each other. Truth shall spring out of the earth, and righteousness shall look down from heaven. Yea, the Lord shall give that which is good, and our land shall yield her increase. Righteousness shall go before him, and shall set us in the way of his steps. Now may the Lord add the blessing to the reading of his word. Our Father, thank thee tonight for the privilege to be back in church. I thank you for the good singing. I thank you, Lord, for the good spirit. I thank you for those that are visiting tonight. And Father, I pray in these next few minutes that you'll just still our heart and help us in thy word. Use us tonight, I pray, to encourage the saints of God. And Lord, to stir them and motivate them that they might lift up their eyes and set their affection upon God. And Lord, believe you for an old-fashioned revival that'll bring joy to our hearts, salvation to the lost, and blessing to the house of God. I pray that your name will be honored and glorified and magnified in everything that's said and done. You know the liberty that we need tonight, Lord, and I pray that you'll provide that to your honor and glory. Bless the hearts of your people and help your preacher. Give me the power that I need tonight. I need the grace of God. Now I ask you, Lord, to save some old sinner tonight. That one, Lord, that's out in the field of sin, away from God, I pray you'll rescue them tonight and save them and bring them into the fold of God. And we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Thank you now, and you may be seated. I've used this verse a number of times in preaching, and so I'm not here to try to impress anybody tonight. In fact, I may not do a thing but read some statements that I have written down and we'll go to the house. But David said here, the psalmist said, "Wilt thou not revive us again, that thy people may rejoice in thee?"
Amen.
In the first five verses of this chapter, we find there some things that precede revival. Revival, folks, comes, I believe, from God instantaneously, but the work that is done through the saints of God must be achieved and accomplished over a period of time. And so we find some things in verses 1 through 4 that precede the revival that I believe God wants to send. He said in verse 1, he spoke there about the Lord being favorable unto the land. And so that's the grace of God. God has been favorable to you and I. And God's favor will always, revival will always spring out of God's favor and God's grace. It's God's favor that brings revival to His people. He doesn't have to revive them. According to our text, they were in captivity. He does not have to bring them out of captivity. But He shows favor and He shows grace and brings them out of their captivity and sets them once again in the land of their blessing and gives them increase and joy unspeakable and full of glory there. He said in verse number 2 that He would forgive their iniquity. Hey, confession and forgiveness will always come before revival. God will never revive His people that are wallowing in their sin. I tell you, I think one of the problems today is that we feel like that God owes us something. And we want the best that God has, but we're not willing to turn from our sin in order for God to give it to us. God will not send us revival hobnobbing out yonder in the world. There's got to come a time of separation and sanctification before God will ever revive His people. He said there, "Thou hast taken away all thy wrath. Thou hast turned thyself from the fierceness of thine anger." And so God has turned Himself from anger. And then in verse number 4, He turns the people of God. And then in the preceding verses, 7 and on down, several things there that follow revival. And I don't have time to get into all these. It's not my purpose tonight. But there's several things there mentioned that come after revival. For instance, mercy and peace and righteousness, all and the healing of the land. I think there in verse number 12, we find the healing of the land, the same promise that is in 2 Chronicles 7:14. All these things follow God's revival. Hey, somebody said, "Brother Hall, exactly what is revival?" I'll be honest with you, I don't know everything that revival is. Now, I don't know everything that revival does. But I do know one thing on the authority of our text, that revival restores the joy of God's people. It restores to them the joy of their salvation. He said in verse 6, "Will thou not revive us again?" For what reason? That thy people may rejoice in thee. Hey, church, I have preached so much on this that it just about troubles me in my spirit to have to preach it. But God came, Jesus came, that we might have life and that we might have it more abundantly. And I'm afraid that God's people today have lost the joy of their salvation. We're not turning transgressors from the air of their way, and we're not seeing sinners saved by the grace of God. And I think the reason is that we've lost the joy of our salvation. Brother David said in Psalm 51, when he had fallen into sin and then made confession of that sin, he said, "Lord," he said, "restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and then I'll teach transgressors your way." Now I want to say to you, my friend, that the only only thing that will rob us of our joy is sin. And it doesn't have to be big sin. It just has to be knowledgeable sin that we're aware of. And 99% of the sin in our Baptist churches today is not sins of ignorance, but it's sins of knowledge. We know quite well that we've transgressed God, and we've sinned against God, and therefore our joy has been deprived of us, and we walk around, bless God, like grandma or like mother-in-law moved in to stay, and there's no joy, there's no bliss, there's no happiness, and there's no conversion of sinners. And the reason is we need revival by the grace of God. Will thou not revive us again, that thy people may rejoice in thee? Now, I've got an outline here tonight I won't go through. And it ain't going to be, you know, we're not going to shout the house down. I'm going to tell you that. I don't believe God wants us to. But the Holy Spirit has reminded me again of the necessity of revival. I had it on my heart all the way home from Mexico. Even before we left, the Lord began to deal with my heart. And all the way home, it was revival, 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 revival. I couldn't get it out of my mind. Revival. I'm going to tell you, looking at a man that believes in revival, you're looking at a man that desires revival, you're looking at a man that realizes that the church tonight stands in need of an old-fashioned, heaven-sent, Holy Ghost revival where God will rend the heavens and come down that the mountains may melt under His feet, and God's people become obedient unto Him, and sinners will be brought to a saving knowledge of the Son of God. Somebody said, "Preacher, why don't you preach on evangelism instead of revival?" Because there's no need of going out in the field of evangelism in the spirit that we're in. Not a bit. No, not one bit of need. No, sir. All these idiots run around knocking on 1,000 doors a week, and their churches aren't growing a bit, and yet they're talking about having hundreds saved, and they added nobody to the church in 25 years. I'm going to tell you, hey, there's no need to go out in evangelism, brother, until the church has been revived and they got some joy of being saved in their heart, and they're walking in the path of the Spirit of God, and they've got something to tell a sinner that will enable that sinner to depart from the world and flee to Christ before their soul is caught up in hell. Are you listening to me now? Revival. And evangelism is fruitless when the attitude of 99% of God's people today, hey, they didn't have revival down in Babylon. But if they had hanged their harps on the willows in Babylon, and they could not even sing the song of the redeemed while they were living there. Read it. It's in the book of Psalms. They said they demanded us to sing a song. Why, they couldn't sing down in bondage. They couldn't have revival in bondage. But I'm going to tell you, when God Almighty began to work in their life and called old Zerubbabel and Nehemiah and the saints of God to head back to Jerusalem and begin rebuilding that temple, they didn't have revival in Babylon, but they sure had revival when they got back to the land of God. We'll know, hey, we need to get back just to some plain old time religion. Now, I want everybody to listen to me very carefully. I wrote this outline down in my Bible probably back in 1982, 83. Now, I want to say to you, it is not an original with me. I don't claim any originality to it at all. In fact, but I'm going to tell you where it did come from. It did come from a man that probably knew as much about revival as anybody that I've ever read after. It came out in a book by Charles G. Finney entitled Revivals of Religion. And I'm going to tell you, if anybody knew anything at all about revival, I think Finney ought to know a little bit about revival. It seemed like everywhere he went, revival fires broke out. And he sat down and penned these articles or these statements in a book and elaborated on them. All I've got is an outline, but I want to preach it to us tonight. I think it is the best that I've ever seen on on really on when a revival is needed, when a revival is expected, and then what is a revival. Some folks don't even know when we need a revival. Others don't know when to really expect a revival. And then there's many folks that are ignorant to what revival of the people of God really is.
Right. Yes, sir.
Now I won't say to you, revival's not for the world.
Amen.
And the world don't have to get one bit better for God's people to have revival.
Right.
Let her go. She's a going to hell on as fast as she can get there. And brother, it ain't going to get any better. But I'm here to tell you, it can get better for the people of God. In fact, I believe things are better on up the road. You better believe that's right. Things got to get better on up the road for the people of God. Amen. Hallelujah. I've read enough in that Bible to know that sometimes when things are the worst in the world, they are the best for the people of God. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Oh, yes, sir. So when old Nehemiah began to rebuild the walls of Jerusalem, things weren't too good around him. Why, I mean, there were adversaries, old Tobias and Sanballat, and all them Amorites are trying to destroy the work of God. I mean, things were terrible. Hey, in fact, the people of God, even Nehemiah went back for a little while, and before he came back to Jerusalem, things got so bad that God's people, my friend, had even started shacking up and committing adultery, fornication, and all that. But I'm telling you, things were bad, but God was still able to send revival, and God still able in 1998 to send revival to the people of God. I know that's right. Now hear me well. When is revival needed? Will thou not revive us again, that thy people may rejoice in thee? I'm telling you, the whole message tonight depends on whether Brother Hall's got the ability to make any application. If I can make application, we'll preach. And if not, I ain't going to be much preaching going on. Because all I got's a series of statements. When is a revival really needed? I want to say, number one, when there is a want of brotherly love among Christians. When there is a want of brotherly love among Christians. Hey, 1 Corinthians 13 talks about brotherly love. It talks about love. Jesus Himself said, "By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one for another." May I say to you, my friend, He did not say, if you don't have love one for another, you're not my brothers. But He said the world out there will know that you are my disciples if you have love one for another. I'm telling you that loving each other is the evidence that God gives to a lost and a dying world. Amen. That we are the children of God. It proves to them that what we say we have is real with God. And brother, we're not going to see sinners saved of folks are fussing and a fighting and arguing and raising hell down to church house. No, sir, we're going to have to conduct ourselves in an orderly manner and learn to love each other by the grace of God. In 2 Peter chapter number 1, old brother Peter there lists 8 things beginning with faith that show a growth in our Christian life. And that 7th thing is brotherly kindness. And the 8th thing is charity. Now, that is a sign of maturity. Listen carefully. God will revive a mature people. God cannot send revival. Somebody said, "I don't believe that." You don't have to believe it. But I'm telling you, God cannot send revival to a bunch of infant Christians that know nothing about walking with God and have never grown out of their baby stage. They're yet carnal. Somebody said, "Brother Hall, what do you say? Carnality breeds divisions." Amen. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. And God cannot revive a church where there's divisions in that church. Are you listening? Revival is needed when there is a want of brotherly love. I believe I've seen enough at Island Ford Baptist Church to believe that there are some of you that really have a desire to be Christians. Really have a desire in your heart to love one another as Christ intends for us to. And not to be at each other's throat all the time. Folks, I don't know about you, but I'm telling you, sometimes I feel like throwing my hands up in the air and just quitting. I've never seen so-called Baptists that claim to love each other and claim to be saved and know God and walking in obedience to that book that cannot get along with one another. Hey, they can't even get along with churches 100, 200, 300, 400, 500 miles away from them. How in God's name do we ever expect to get along down at the local church if we can't get along with folks 500 and 600 miles down the road away from us that we see one time a year? God help us. God help us. Revival is needed when there is a want of brotherly love among Christians. Hebrews 13:1 said, "Let brotherly love continue." Buddy, don't let anything get in its way. I don't care what that crowd out there calls us. Buddy, hey, let us learn to love one another and to do for one another. And look here, charity will spring out of brotherly love. Somebody said, "Preacher, what is charity?" Charity is the outworking of love. Charity is the work, the motion that comes out of love. And I tell you, if we'll learn to love one another as brothers, it won't be long until there'll be charity in the house of God, and there'll be the pinnacle of our Christian growth where God can take us and do something with us. Hallelujah. When is revival needed? When there is a want of brotherly love among Christians. Number two, when there are dissensions and jealousies and evil speakings in the church. Dissensions and jealousies and evil speakings in the church. Let me run that by you again. We're running pretty good on number one, but I'm afraid there on number two, we kind of begin to boil down a little bit. I'm wondering if there's not some evil speakings and jealousies and dissensions in the church at Island Ford Baptist Church. Oh, somebody said, "Oh, Brother Hall, not at all." I'm going to tell you what, it's hard to get two or three in agreement together, much less an entire church. Son, there's got to be accord and agreement down at the house of God. Folks have to learn to get along with one another down at the house of God before God ever sent revival to us.
Yes, sir.
Amen. Amen. Buddy, we argue about this. We argue about that. We get jealous over this and jealous over that. Hey, that's when we need revival.
Amen.
Hey, when there's controversy over doctrine, when there's dissension over what we believe, jealousies over what we have, evil speaking about one another,
right,
running our tongues about one another, gossiping about one another. Somebody said, "Oh, Brother Hall, I don't ever gossip. I've never gossiped. Why don't you stop lying?"
Amen.
I think we've all been tad bit guilty of that before.
Amen.
Oh, yes, sir. Hey, listen. Listen very carefully what dear Brother Paul says in his writings about this thing, about evil speakings and jealousies and one thing another. In the book of Philippians, chapter 2, he said, "If therefore there be any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord and of one mind. Let nothing be done through vainglory or strife, but in the lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves." And I'm telling you what, friend, hey, we ought to be like-minded. We ought to have the same mind, and that's right. And we ought to try our best to get along with one another.
Amen.
That's right. Number three, I don't think this really applies to us much, but the revival is needed when there is a worldly spirit in the church. A worldly spirit in the church. We need revival with a worldly spirit in the church. Somebody said, "Brother Hall, there's none of our ladies that wears pants and shorts and culottes. There's none of our men that have long hair. There's none of our men that wear Bermuda shorts and go naked." Hey, I would to God that that was all there was to a worldly spirit. But that is sad to say, that's not all there is to a worldly spirit. Honey, hey, you can wear a dress plumb to the ground. Men can cover up every bit of skin they got on their bodies with their two eyeballs and still be as worldly as the devil. I see folks all out here in our society that I walked into a place up here one day and saw a woman sitting there and she had hair plumb down here. I said, my God, that woman must be a Pentecostal woman. She's got hair that long. I said, surely God, she's trying to live for God. She couldn't be worldly. And she sat there a little bit and I heard a little off-color word come out of her mouth. And I said, I don't know whether that woman's a Pentecostal or not. She might be a Baptist talking that way. But when she stood up, I realized she probably wasn't very well. Amen. I mean, hey, looks can deceive you is what I'm saying. Don't you get the idea, friend, just because you put on a dress on Sunday morning, Sunday night, and come down to church house, that you have done away with your worldly spirit. Oh, no. Oh, no. Worldly spirit in the church. Revival is needed when a church finds its members falling into gross sins. I don't believe we have that here. I don't believe for one minute that there's any gross sins of vice and adultery and fornication at Island Ford Baptist Church. I hope there isn't. It would greatly bother my heart if I found out tomorrow that some of you had fallen and committed adultery or some of you had went out and got drunk. I cannot imagine a member of our church, as much as I preached against liquor and preached against fornication and preached against adultery, I cannot imagine anybody in our church falling into that sin. But I'm telling you, it's possible. It's possible. One of the men, I think it was Miss Kelly back there, and brother Ricky. Didn't they have Rolando's name? They had one of the preacher's names down in Mexico, Rolando. He pastored Bethel Baptist Church. Now, I'll just be honest, I just never could get close to that man. There's always something there that troubled me about that man. And when Brother Bill Williams and Sherry was here with us some time ago, we got word that young man had fallen into sin, that he's a pastor of a church, and that he had committed adultery with a couple of the young ladies and had even been fondling some of the young girls in the church. And I tell you, Brother Bill said, I can't hardly believe that. Cherry said, I can't hardly believe that. It just doesn't sound true. I mean, that man was right with God. Bill said, I've grown up with him. I've known him for years and years, and I just don't believe that can be true. But I'm telling you, when Bill come back from Mexico, he confirmed it, and that man confessed it. Yes, he said, I have been living an adulterous life, and yes, I have been fooling with little girls. In fact, his pastor told me while we were down there that only 2 weeks ago, that man in church sat down by his own niece on his wife's side and cuddled up to her with his arm around her. I'm telling you, friend, that these kind of sins do creep into the house of God. And son, I'm going to keep on preaching again and as long as God will give me breath. You better believe I am. Somebody said it won't happen to me. Yeah, it will. If you ain't careful, it will. You might be surprised. Maybe there might be a lady in our church. Now I'm just speculating. Surely there wouldn't be a lady in our church at Sunbase. Strips off your clothes and lays out in the backyard and sunbathes.
Preaching time,
folks. Yeah. Huh? Oh, Brother Hall, I'm in the privacy of my own home. That's what Bathsheba thought on top of that house.
Right.
But old David was just walking across on the other side. Now, I'm telling you what, I'm going to preach as hard as I can preach against it. Hey, if it's not in here, I'm going to do my level best to keep her out of here.
Amen.
I had a woman to call me a few years ago. She said, you don't have any right standing in that pulpit and preaching against women bathing in the sun and going to tanning booths. I said, adult, God's give me that right, lady. She said, oh, she said, it's our business. What we do with, she was a member of an independent Baptist church in this town too, buddy. I know her, could give you her name. She said, I like tanning booths. I said, I like to preach against tanning booths. She said, you ain't my pastor. I said, then quit listening to me.
Right?
Amen. That That's right. That's gross sin, laying under a stinking tan and Luther cooking your skin. Come down with melanoma and then want to gripe at God because you got skin cancer. Somebody said, boy, we're having fun tonight. We may get better than this here in a minute. Hallelujah. Hey, when you talk about gross sins coming into the house of God, folks, you got to hit a few things. Huh? That's right. Somebody said, surely you don't believe laying out. Hey, I'm going to tell you what. I've seen women and God, hey, you know they're laying out. You see them with a little old shirt with shirt on one day, and they're brown from here down, and 2 days later they're sleeveless, and they're brown on their shoulders. Buddy, you know, I guarantee you, if a couple of the ladies was to jerk them back in the bathroom, lift their dress up, they'd find their hind ends as brown. I'm telling you, you lay out like that, and you're putting yourself in a position, my friend, for somebody, even no more than in his heart, to commit adultery with you. Oh, I know some of you don't like that, but I'm telling you, buddy, it's me that's preaching, and I'm the one that's got to stand before God to give an account, and I'm going to tell it just like it is. Son, we had a few more preachers telling it like it is, there'd be a whole lot more people living right. And if I can bust you and keep it out of this church, I'm going to bust you and keep it out of this church. Son, you've got to oil this morning. It's salt time tonight. Skinning time and salting time. That's the house of God. We need revival when we find our church members falling into gross sins.
Right. Yes, sir.
I went some years ago to a church here in town. Went over on a Thursday night. I thought this having a man died that I knew, and I thought they said on the obit column that they were showing him there at the church that night. Well, I went walking in. There was two or three men in there and a couple of women, and two of them women looked like they had on pajamas. I'm talking about them little thin legs, that big ground. I said, what? My God. And I looked around, and I said, where's old brother so-and-so? They said, well, he's dead. I said, I know it. I'm here to see you. Lady said, you're going to have to go to the funeral home. He's up there. I said, what are y'all doing in here? Oh, we're going out on visitation, Brother Hall. I said, in your pajamas? Said, these aren't pajamas. I said, you couldn't prove it, Doc. Somebody said, you didn't. No, don't. Hey, I wouldn't bet on that if I was you, buddy. Hey, if they got the brass to go that way, I got the brass to tell them about it. And I catch you out that way. You got the brass to wear it. I got the brass to preach it.
Amen.
Little old thin things look like I dream a genie with a light brown hair. I started to ask him where they're stinking lamps was at to rub. Huh? Somebody said, Brother Hall, I'm telling you the truth now. I'm not lying. I'm preaching. Amen. Hallelujah. That's right. We need revival when there is a worldly spirit in the church and when the church finds its members falling into gross sins. Hey, not just little bitty little sins, gross sins. But can I tell you some grosser sins than going naked and sunbathing? Lying. Dishonesty. Hatred. My old brother John said if a man hates his brother, he's a murderer. That's a gross sin, buddy. Hatred. We just talked about brotherly love. What about hatred?
Amen. Right. Amen. Yes, sir.
Amen. I honestly believe there's some folks in Madisonville like kill me. Talk about being saved and loving God.
Right.
They a murderer.
Amen.
That's a gross sin.
Yes, sir.
Look here. Somebody said, oh, Brother Hall, everybody gets along fine in Madisonville. Honey, they ain't a church within 100 miles of here to let me lead in silent prayer in their basement. Come on, hey, and tell me what I've done. Tell me what I've done besides preach the Word of God and stand against sin.
Amen.
Tell me, hey, there's a problem there. All these God-honoring, God-loving, brother-loving folks that claim to love God and hate me, you going to tell me they're saved? Are you hearing what I'm saying? I'm telling you there's a problem somewhere. Mucho problema.
Right.
And that's Espanol for big problem. Huh? That's right. We need revival. We need revival when there is a spirit of controversy in the church and in the land. I don't think we need to elaborate on that much. We need revival when the world triumphs over and reviles the people of God. When there's no victory in the lives of God's people. When the world is trying... Hey, what do you think? What do you think it was when Israel came out of that bondage? The world was triumphing over God's people. Had them down in brick pits, slime pits of making brick. Somebody said, "Oh, Brother Hall, we're not down. We're not down in the slime pit of making brick." Hey, I beg to differ with you. Spiritually speaking, 99% of God's people don't have 1 ounce of victory in their heart.
Amen.
The devil in this world is triumphing over the people of God. And we're held at bay by the world. If there was liberty, my friend, then God would be outside the four walls of this church and sinners would be getting saved by the grace of God. God help us. God help us. We need revival. Now this one here, don't concern us, but it concerns them out there. We need revival when sinners become careless and unconcerned about their souls. Never in my life have I seen people so unconcerned about where they're going to spend eternity.
Right.
Living reckless lives, lawless lives, sinful lives, ungodly lives, and don't seem to care about it 1 minute. I mean, they can do anything under the sun and care and have no thought of where they're going to spend eternity whatsoever. I'm telling you, it's like it was in the days of Noah when people were corrupt. Corrupt and sinful and going on in their sin, unconcerned about where they're going to spend eternity. I'm telling you tonight that revival will wake up this world. Revival will set a fire to church house. Said, I'm telling you, fire will get folks' attention. Fire was a big thought down yonder in Mexico. That's all they talked about was the fires down in the lower part of the state. Old Troy White came up from the lower part of the state and he said, "Brother Hall," he said, "there's one fire down there that covered thousands and thousands and thousands of acres." And he said, "We were driving at night early in the morning," said, "I saw the flame from it and thought surely we was just a couple of miles away from it." And he said, "We drove and we drove and we drove and we drove for miles and miles and miles before we ever got to where that fire was." Somebody said, "What are you saying, preacher?" I'm saying a fire at the church house. Revival at the church house, friend. Because the heat of it can be felt and the flames can be seen by those that are lost and going to hell. Oh yes, revival is needed that the souls of lost men, women, boys and girls might be saved by the grace of God. Get their attention. Something to get their attention. Son, I'll tell you, we need preaching hot enough to scorch their hide.
Right.
Huh? Amen. That's right. Let me give you a little illustration of what I'm trying to say. Now, I'm not saying this to be critical. Be a smart aleck. It's just a good illustration. But this morning, I can't think of that boy's last name. Do you remember, Ruth, any of y'all in here remember Johnny's last name?
Ford.
Johnny Ford. Old Brother Johnny Ford came up with him in here for this service this morning. Johnny Ford first heard Brother Hall preach 9 years ago. And he was in the Muhlenberg County Jail. That's Greenville, Kentucky. And he said, "Preacher, I'm listening to you on this radio." He said, "Would you come over here and visit me?" He said, "My name's Johnny Ford." And said, "I'd like you to come." I went over there one night and visited old Johnny, preached there in the jail. He said, "Hallelujah to God." He said, claimed he got saved. Said he got saved listening to WSOF. They sentenced him and he went off to LaGrange. He called me, wrote me a letter, said, "Come to LaGrange." I went to LaGrange, visited him up there around LaGrange. Me and Charles Nicholson visited him. He got out of prison, served his time, come back to Muhlenberg County, found him a little girl, and he got married. For 8 lovely, wonderful years, old Johnny Ford has lived a good life. Him and his wife both work where Ed Thomas worked. They have a good income. They bought them a home. They've been doing well. And Johnny said, "Preacher, 4 months ago, my wife started taking Fen-Pen or Pen-Nan or Flan-Flan or whatever that mess is. Said she started staying out late at night and said, now all of a sudden, after 8 years of marriage, my wife wants out of it. She wants to dissolve it. Said she's living in the house. I'm living in Owensboro. Somebody said, what are you saying, preacher? I'm saying there's people that are unconcerned about their soul. They're not concerned about their well-being. And buddy, it's going to take a revival of the people of God to wake them up. You better believe that's right. Amen. When is a revival expected? I'm trying to hurry through this. I realize that it's a little slow, but I knew it would be, and I don't have no problem with that. I didn't come in here to impress you. We need revival, folks. It's for the sinner out there, it's either turn or burn. And I'm telling you, for the church of the living God, it's either revival or ruin. One of the two. Are you hearing what I'm saying? It's either revival, rapture, or ruin. Somebody said, Brother Hall, I'm having it pretty good. You're blinded.
Right.
You are deceived if you think that we're in a spiritual fervor and zeal in our churches today.
Amen.
You can't even get a holy ground out of most Baptists.
Amen.
You can't get folks to sing. You can't get folks to pray. You can't get the prayer, get them into prayer meetings. You can't get folks to go out and visit their family and their loved ones and turn to the house of God. You can't get, hey, we need a revival.
Amen.
When is a revival expected? Now, this is going to throw some of you for a loop. Number one, when the providence of God indicates it. It comes by the providence of God. You're not going to work it up. Take my word for it. I've tried it. I've tried to get in here and work you up a little bit. Get you excited and get you stirred. I found that it don't help. Unless the Holy Ghost of God gets a hold of a man's soul and sets him aflame. Son, he'll say the same old dried up, cankered mess that he's always been. I'll never forget maybe 1980, back at our home church, Bible Baptist Church, Sellersburg, Indiana, a preacher was preaching there by the name of Don McCann. And oh, God was a moving in that minute, in that work. God was a moving in that revival meeting. That man preached one night. God got a hold of my old heart and began to shake me. That's the first time God ever illuminated my mind and pointed me to and started dealing with me about revival. Now I'm telling you, I left out of that auditorium. Old brother Bill Stotts and his wife had nursery duty, and I run into that nursery, and old Bill Stotts looked at me and he said, "My God, what's wrong with you?" I said, "What do you mean?" He said, "You look like you've been plugged into a 440 outlet, man." He said, "You look lit up." I was lit up. Son, the Holy Ghost got a hold of my heart. Right there in 1980, God birthed into my soul the necessity of revival in the lives of God's people. And I've never gotten over it. No one ever get over it. I want somebody else to catch the baton and start running the race. Somebody else to catch the fire. Somebody else to get lit up. Somebody else to see the need. Somebody else to fall in love with God. Somebody else to fall in love with sinners. Somebody else to pray for revival. Some of you preachers in here, I long for you. I yearn in my heart for you to burn in your soul for revival. Harold Sattler said, told us preachers, he said, if you young preachers will go out, get in the pulpit and build a fire around yourself, folks will come and watch you burn. Now, I don't always burn. I think I had a tad bit of flame this morning. But my flame just about departed tonight. I'm too far gone in body. But I'm giving it the best shot I've got to stand and try to tell you, to try to motivate you and stir you, to try to say something the Holy Ghost can use to move your heart for God, for you to see the necessity of revival down at the house of God. When the providence of God indicates it, revival can be expected then. Revival can be expected when the wickedness of the wicked grieves, humbles, and distresses Christians. There's a wickedness of the wicked humble you, grieve you, and distress you. I'm telling you, folks, it is just about all I can tolerate anymore. Man, I'm telling you, I can't hardly. I'm honest. I'm not bragging to you. It bothers me to go out in society. I forget where we was at just the other day coming home. And some little old boy, I don't know, he's with somebody else, and he came up by there and he had on a pair of pants. He wasn't no bigger, bless God, than one of Rachel's boys back there. Looked like he might have been 13, 14 years old, and he had on a pair of pants that Brother Steve Vincent back there could get in and have room to spare. A big old baggy shirt hanging on, and he had two big old earrings hanging out of his ears and an old little old bowl haircut. Somebody said, "Oh, I bet you really railed on him." No. I'm going to tell you, I said, "My God, the depravity of our land." Are you hearing me now? The very depravity of our land. The depravity that man has fallen to in these last days. Or to arouse our soul and wake us up. Open our eyes that we might see the need to get a hold of God in humble, agonizing, holy prayer and pray the power of God down upon their souls that they might be saved. My God, I've never seen so much sin, so much wickedness. People walking around with their tongues pierced and silver bolts in their tongues and in their ears and in their belly buttons, navels, and women with their bodies all pierced over. And I'm telling you, and nakedness and sin and godliness. Hey, I'm telling you, it's a mess, folks. Drive down the streets. I took folks back to their houses from the camp, from the conference out at Brother Brown's, and sitting on the streets down in Mexico, men and women sitting out along the street and sitting on doorsteps, all lugged up to one another and half naked, laying right out in the public, a loving and a wallowing around on themselves like a bunch of dogs. I'm telling you, that grieves my heart that men are so depraved that they have sinned to that degree against God. God help us. Revival can be expected when Christians have a spirit of revival praying. I'm considering calling Sunday nights to nothing but prayer meeting. From now until our October meeting. Preach on Sunday morning and pray on Sunday night. Oh yes, that may be. See, that's why our Sunday night services has got to be a real drag. And the reason it may be that we're not in the will of God in what we're doing. God may want this church moving in another direction. Don't seem to have the problem on Sunday mornings as we do on Sunday night. God may want us to pray. I wonder how far. I wonder if we'd really come to the house of God and agonize with God in prayer. I'm not talking about coming down here now and kneeling down for 15 seconds and getting up and walking back to your seat. I'm talking about coming in here and getting on our face before God and staying there till God first of all breaks our heart. And once our heart is broken, then given us the grace in our soul to pray down conviction upon the lives of our loved ones that they may be drawn to God. Hallelujah to God.
Yes, sir.
Amen. Amen. Revival praying. The revival of 1856, called the Prayer Revival, at Fulton Street, New York, had its beginning in a morning prayer meeting when about three men showed up for the prayer meeting. They went on for several weeks. They thought, well, we'll just close the prayer meeting. Doesn't seem like it's going to catch much. We'll just close it out. But said, we'll go a couple of more weeks. And I think maybe a couple of weeks later, they had something like 50 or 60 people coming. Then they had 100 people coming. Then 200 people coming. Then it got that Fulton Street. They just opened the doors round the clock. And men and women come to that place around the clock and prayed for God to rend the heavens and come down. No, I'll tell you, that fire began to burn in New York, and before she had burned out and run her course all the way across the Ohio from Covington, Kentucky, in Cincinnati, Ohio, sinners were hearing the gospel and being saved because one old man wanted to pray. One old man. One old man laid hold of God and started praying and refused to give up until God heard from heaven and rent the heavens and come down to send revival. And that prayer meeting grew and men began to pray and pray. I think of old David Brainerd up on the eastern seaboard would pray, and my friend would melt the snow around him. Pray until his feet would freeze and his blood would drop in the snow as he went after those Indians trying to carry him the gospel. My God, we can't pray 15 minutes. Huh?
When Christians have a spirit of revival praying, revival can be expected when preachers direct their preaching efforts to the conversion of sinners. Huh? Preaching on conversion. Now, I'm telling you, everything needs to be preached on, but I'm telling you, we need to preach, direct our preaching to the conversion of the lost. These people, hey, there's lost people in here tonight. There's folks sitting in here tonight that need to be saved. You're just as lost as you can be and on your way to hell, and you know you are. That's right. Amen. Revival can be expected when Christians begin to confess their sins. Hey, for church, what do you think? Why do you think God blessed us as He did 2 years ago in October?
Right.
Oh, I'm going to tell you why. Because there's some honest confession of sin going on. Folks wasn't afraid to get up and tell it like it was and just confess before God and the church what they had been hiding in their heart for all these years. I'm like, that's right. Amen. We'll never have revival without it. Cleansing always follows confession, but you'll never be cleansed until you first confess your sin. You can expect revival when Christians are found willing to make the necessary sacrifice. I think maybe some of you in here may be ready to do just that. Brother Luton and them drive all the way down here. Now, I told you I'm not trying to impress you tonight. Brother Luton and them drove all the way down here and stay all day on Sunday. Stay all day on Sunday just to be faithful to the house of God. Some of you folks drive a long, hey, just to come. You drive for miles just to come to the house of God. Now, hey, I believe that 2 years ago you proved that you're willing to sacrifice. Some of you worked 8 and 10 hours a day and never missed a lick for a 5 week and 1 day long revival meeting. Oh, I believe, yes, that we're willing to pay the price. Make the sacrifice, and it's going to take some sacrifice. Hey, I'm telling you, God will honor. That's right. God will honor the sacrifice of His people. Better believe He will. Now, somebody said, what is revival? I'm going to give you these points, and we're going to the house. I've just about done all I can do. I'm wore out. What is revival? You see, so many folk have the idea that revival is the world getting better. That is not revival. It ain't going to get a bit better.
Amen.
Not one iota. It's just going to get worse and worse and worse. Somebody got the idea of revival as going to a singing convention and getting happy, being happy for 15 minutes. Some folks think revival is bringing in a singing group and packing in a big crowd. Boy, didn't we have a wonderful time there in revival. We had a big crowd. But there's only one problem. When the singing group's gone, the crowd's gone. That ain't revival. What is revival? Revival, number one, is conviction of sin on the part of the church.
Yes, sir.
I'm talking about like David was in Psalm 32. I hope nobody misunderstood me in Sunday school this morning. I wasn't talking about election or whatever. I was talking about conviction.
Right.
When David said, "Thy hand was heavy upon me. From daylight to dark, your hand was heavy." That's conviction. That's revival, folks, when it first sets in on the house. Somebody said, "Oh, but we are saved." Oh, but judgment must begin at the house of God. And cleansing and the work of God must begin at the house of God. That's right. Revival is conviction of sin on the part of the church. Revival is backslidden Christians being brought to a place of repentance. Somebody said, "Oh, you mean somebody that don't come to church anymore?" No, they're not backslidden. They're lost.
Right.
When I talk about backslidden Christians, I'm talking about that crowd that comes to church 3 times a week but never read their Bible.
Right.
Never pray.
Amen.
Are you hearing me? Never read their Bible, never pray, but they come to church.
Right.
You're backslidden. Revival and revival Christians will have their faith renewed. Some of you in here tonight that is struggling with and struggling with problems in your life, and you've just about endured as much as you can. Revival, your faith will be renewed.
Amen.
Revival breaks the power of the world and sin over the people of God. And the final result of revival is that the lost will be saved.
Amen.
Revival. Church, I've tried to give you that outline. I hope you'll take the outline and just read it and pray over it. I didn't intend to preach none tonight, but that right there. I've done exactly what God wanted me to do tonight. The load has been lifted from my shoulder. I've done what God wanted me to do. Revival. It must come. It's revival or ruin. If you'll ever get a hold of that, if you'll ever get a hold of that truth, that your loved ones without revival are going to split hell wide open. It's revival or ruin. But stand together.